Amen. Praise the Lord for the special music this morning. We believe basically what they were saying. We just believe what the Bible says, right? What God has written down, preserved for us so that we might know the very mind of God. And we believe all that this Bible teaches. So praise the Lord for that message and song this morning. If you have your Bibles with you, if you look with me to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 3, 1 Timothy chapter 3, we're going to read verse 14 down to verse 16. 1 Timothy chapter 3, a pastoral epistle, and Paul is writing to young Timothy, who had the desire to be a pastor. He gives him the qualifications for the pastor position. Then he gives the qualifications for the position of a deacon in the church. And then we're going to be looking at, right after that, the verses that he gives us, verse 14 down to verse 16. So if you'll stand with me, we'll read the Word of God together. This is the 29th anniversary of the Lighthouse Baptist Church. And today, can I tell you, it's all about the church. And praise the Lord for that. And we need to understand about the church. Sunday morning Sunday school, we just started a new series on teaching about the church, the real church, the authentic biblical church that God Himself designed and established through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so here in 1 Timothy chapter 3, let's start reading verse 14. The Bible says, "These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory." And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you this morning, we love you, Lord, and thank you for, first of all, loving us. We thank you for just your presence in this place today. And I trust that everyone in this auditorium can sense your presence. And I pray, God, not only would we sense your presence, but that, God, that we would open up our hearts and our minds to receive what you have for us. I pray, God, that you would just speak to each one as they have need to be spoken to. I ask that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. In verse 15, Paul reveals something to Timothy that I believe that God has preserved for everyone who's going to be a part of the New Testament church to learn and understand. He says, "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God." Thou mayest know how to behave thyself in the house of God. We find that the church is described as, first of all, right here, the house of God. It's God's house. Just as if somebody was coming by and they would see your home that you live in, they would say, "Well, that's the Tid's house," or "That's the Folger's house," or "That's the McGath's house." If whatever your name is, they know that you live there and that is your dwelling place, and they would look at it and say that would be your name and that is your house. We cannot lose sight of what the Bible says, what God says about His church. And He says that His church is the house of God. God's house. Believers are referred to as the household. In Galatians in chapter 6, look back there with me, Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10, the Bible says, "As we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men." Praise the Lord for that. "But especially unto them who are of the household of faith." The household of faith. So if you have received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, then your body actually becomes a temple of God. And God, through the Holy Spirit, will lead you to that church, that local New Testament church, that He will plant you in. And as He plants you in that local New Testament church, which is God's house, then you are part of the household of that church. Every member of the Lighthouse Baptist Church, God looks at you as the household of His church, this Lighthouse Baptist Church, the household. So believers are referred to as the household of faith. In Ephesians in chapter 3 and verse 20, chapter 2 and verse 20 is what I'm looking for here. He reveals that Jesus is the cornerstone of the house. In chapter 2 and verse 20, he says, in verse 19, he says, "Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, and of the household of God, family of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles." And this morning we studied how that Jesus Christ established His church with the apostles and prophets. Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone. The chief cornerstone. He established it and is the head of that household, which is also referred to as the body of Christ. If you look in Ephesians in chapter 1 right there, and verse 22 and verse 23, he says, "And hath put all things, God hath put all things under His feet," Jesus Christ, "and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all." And so He established it and is the head of the body, His church. Now, we have to understand that that is not man's design. That is not the Baptist denomination design. That is not secular design. That is God's design. We find that the Bible reveals to us God's design and His plan and purpose for His church. And we ought to say hallelujah to the fact that the church is the house of God. It's God's house. Praise the Lord that every born-again believer is of the household that God has placed in that local New Testament church. And in that local New Testament church, in every one of them, Jesus is to be the cornerstone of that church. So as members of God's family who have been planted in His local, and it is a visible New Testament church, then our text this morning, understanding that, our text says that thou, that household, oughtest, may know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God. How we oughtest to behave ourselves. When we come to church, the most important thing that the household does when they come to God's house is to acknowledge Him. And acknowledging Him is to worship Him. I trust when you come out to the church house, when you come to the Lighthouse Baptist Church, especially as the household, as the family members of the church that God has established, planted here together to make up this assembly, this local New Testament assembly of believers, the church, that when you come to this church, you come knowing who you've come to worship. And you have come to worship. That's something that I ask every Sunday morning because I want that to be a part of our worship service. You know who you've come to worship. You've not come to worship this preacher. You've not come to actually hear this preacher, but you've come because you know it's what God has established, and it's where God has planted you, and it's what God would have you to come and not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And as we come into this place, we are expecting God to meet with us, and we're expecting this, the environment, the atmosphere of this place to be Christ-honoring, and we're expecting to meet with God, and we're expecting to bow down and worship Him. We ought to worship Him. What we ought to do, And not only to worship him, but look what it says, that we ought to know, ought us to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God. We worship him as a living God. Our God's alive. You might not be able to visibly see him with the naked eye, but you ought to be able to sense his presence in this place, and we ought to come out and know that his presence is here, and we ought to come understanding that he is in the midst with us, and we are come to worship a living God. We don't come to worship a building. Some people are so enamored by the building that they lose sight of God. We don't come to worship a denomination. Some people are so caught up with the denomination of Baptist or the denomination of Methodist or the denomination of whatever religion you might say, and they're so caught up in that that they're just coming as a denomination. And when you do that, you lose sight of God. We don't come to worship a building. We don't come to worship a denomination. We don't come to worship a man. Some people, that's what they focus on, is when they come, they want to just elevate a man, and they want to worship a man that is going to stand before them. There's no difference between any men. We're all have the same sin nature. God created us. Now, God has called us to different positions, but it's not the man that you come to worship. It's not the man that you come to hear. Now, God has called a man into every church, and he gives a qualification of the pastor, and that whoever is the pastor had better meet that qualification. And God wants to work through them through the preaching of the Word of God, but you ought not come to this church to hear this preacher. You ought to come to worship God. Amen. And as you're worshiping God, you want to hear from the preaching of the Word of God. We ought not worship a building, a denomination, a man, or a congregation. Sometimes that's what motivates people to come to church. Well, I just want to come and fellowship. I just want to come and get to know everyone else and get, and so, if that's what brings you to a church, then when you get upset with somebody in the church, that's going to cause you to leave the church. Can I tell you, that's not a reason to join a church, and that's not a reason to leave a church. The only reason to join a church is because the Holy Spirit of God led you there and planted you there. And the only reason to leave a church is because the Holy Spirit of God has uprooted you, and he's going to lead you to a place where you might draw closer to God, or you might be able to serve God in a greater capacity, or whatever it might be. But you don't leave a church because you get upset with somebody not shaking your hand. If you get upset and leave a church because of the congregation or because of the church building or because of even the pastor of the church, listen to me, you didn't join that church. You didn't come to the church with the right motive in mind. Church is a place to come to worship God. Church is a house of God that we are to come to it with God, a living God in mind. We come to the church to acknowledge a heavenly Father, to acknowledge his Son, and to acknowledge his Holy Spirit that dwells within us. My daily prayer, as I begin my day with prayer, I always want to acknowledge the Trinity of God. And I'll start out, but God, I bow myself to you as being Almighty Creator God, my Heavenly Father. And I bow down and I acknowledge you as being Almighty Creator God, the Son, my Redeemer, my Lord, Jesus. And I bow down and acknowledge you as being God, the Holy Spirit, my Comforter, he that dwells within me. I never want to forget who God reveals himself to be. God reveals himself as our heavenly Father. God reveals himself to be our Savior. God reveals himself to be our Holy Spirit that dwells within us. And God reveals to us that we communicate with him by praying to the Father through the Son in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. That's Bible. That's what God reveals about himself. And so when I come to church, I come to worship God, a living God in three persons, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. The Bible says in John in chapter 4, as Jesus was teaching the disciples at that time, he taught them the worship of God. And he says to them in John chapter 4 and verse 23, I love this passage of scripture. He says, but the hour cometh and now is when true worshipers. Now for him to say true worshipers, that means that there's some that are phony worshipers. There are some that think they're worshiping God that are not truly worshiping God. There's some that assemble themselves together in a denomination. There's some that assemble themselves together in a building. There's some that assemble themselves together underneath the authority of a man, and they're not worshiping God. But he says there's coming a day, and now is, when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. For God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And the truth that God has established for us to worship him, the Father seeketh true worshipers. So if God is seeking that, and God's the one that pricks our heart that gets us to come to church, when we come to church as the household of faith, then what we ought to do is give God what he's seeking. Where else are you going to do that than in the house of God? A place that God has established, not that man's established, but a place that God has established, and a place that God is following God's design for church. True worshipers, God's seeking that. Do you truly believe that God is alive? You can't worship God if you don't believe he's truly alive. You can worship religion. You can come to church. But you can't worship God. The Bible says that as we assemble ourselves together in the house of God, which is a church of the living. Living God. That means that God sees. When I come to church, I need to come understanding that God sees me. And if I'm not in church, can I tell you on Sunday, God sees you. Sometimes we think that we can just get away and hide from God and he will not see that we're not in church on Sunday and not obeying his commands and not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together. It's like children sometimes. Have you ever noticed that children might act a little different when they're in view of their parents? And when they want to do something that they know the parents are not going to be in approval of, they know they're not going to support their doing that, then they try to hide themselves. They try to get out of the view of their parents so that they can do what they want to do, and thinking, as long as I can keep it from my parents, what they don't know won't hurt them. But see, when you come to worship God, realizing no matter where you're at on Sunday, he sees you. You can't hide from God because there's no place that you can go that God is not there. There's no place that you can go and hide from God because God sees all things. He's the living God. He's not in the grave. He's not just somewhere out in the outer space. He's a living God who sees all. That's how we worship him. Because that's who he's a living God. If he's a living and he is the God of all creation, I need to realize he will always see me. Now that God hears. If he's a living God, and I'm going to worship him as a living God, then I have to realize that God, you do have ears to hear. And that's a good thing when you're saying the right things. That's a good thing when you want to get a hold of Almighty God through prayer and know that God hears your prayers and God is able to answer your prayers and to do all things. What a blessing it is. But when you want to possibly say things that you shouldn't say, God still hears. No matter how softly you say them. Matter of fact, even if you don't verbalize them, but if you're thinking those things in your heart, God hears from the heart. Before they ever get to the tongue, God's already heard from the heart. That's a God we worship. You come to church knowing that we worship a living God who sees. I'm an open book. And not only does he see, he hears. Because he's alive. He's not dead. He hears everything. You can't say anything in secret when it comes to God. Not only that, he feels. If he's alive, he can identify with our infirmities. He knows what you're going through. Because he came to this earth to identify with humanity. He lived a sinless, perfect life. He withstood all the temptation and all the attacks that Satan could throw at him. And that very same God is the God that I worship. He's in heaven and he feels today. He feels. And the God that dwells within you in the presence of the Holy Spirit, you can grieve the Holy Spirit because he feels. He sees, he hears, and not only does he see, but he hears, but he feels. And you can grieve him, and you can please him, and you can praise the Lord for that. Understanding this is a God that desires our worship. He's seeking for those who will worship him in spirit and in truth. And as we come to the assembling of ourselves together in the house of God, he hears us, he sees us, he can feel. He feels. He's a living God. He can also touch. What a blessing when you sense the touch of the hand of God. Amen. It's hard to describe it. But there's been times that I have been so discouraged and so down and going through some of the darkest times. And I call out to an Almighty God who I know sees, who I know hears, who I know feels and knows what I'm going through. And it's like God just put his hand upon my shoulder. And that brings a comfort that you can't get anywhere else. That brings a peace that passeth all understanding. And that can bring a joy that this world cannot touch. That's a living God. That's a living God. He's the God that we assemble ourselves together to worship. Too many just attend church. Well, I put in my time. Surely God will bless me now. I went to church. Roof didn't cave in. Surely God's going to bless my day now because I did it. Come on, I attended church. God does. Praise the Lord for attending church because you're getting closer to where you need to be and worshiping God. But just attending church is not enough. You come that far, why not totally worship him? Praise the Lord for those. Praise the Lord for everyone that's in this congregation this morning. Who knew who was coming? Only God. God somehow worked it out, pricked your heart, made open the door, and you came. He does not force anyone to come. I don't know if you've here for Sunday school and looked at the Sunday school video as far as a skit there, and we can't force people to come. That's not what we want you to do. God will not force you to come, but God will open a door, and if you go through that door, praise the Lord for that. And God opened the door for everyone to be here that's here. You took advantage of the opportunity. You've assembled yourself here. And praise God for your presence in this place. But God does not want you just to attend church services. God wants you to attend to worship Him. Worship Him. We ought to come. We ought to. So that we mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God. We ought to worship a living God. The Hebrew definition for Old Testament word worship, Old Testament Hebrew, the definition for the word that was translated worship is to be bowed down or humbled. To have one's arrogance knocked out of him. When you come in and you truly understand who God is, that ought to knock the arrogance out of you. Who do you think you are when it comes to comparing yourself with God? And when you see God as high and lifted up as He is, and you understand that He is a creator God, listen to me, when I look to God and then look at myself and I know who I am, it ought to knock the arrogance out of me. And when the arrogance is knocked out of an individual, he'll bow before and humble himself before the God that he's going to worship. In the Greek, the definition for the New Testament word, prostrating oneself before a person and kissing his feet or the hem of his garment. No man is worthy of you doing that to. But when you come to worship a living God, to prostrate, feel like you're just prostrating oneself before this Creator God, just wanting to touch the hem of his garment. Just wanting to kiss his feet. No man's worthy of that, but God is. That's what the New Testament Greek word worship means. And the English definition of worship is to attribute worth to someone or something. To attribute worth to someone, or and some people worship some things, but it's to bow down and to attribute the worth of that one thing. And kind of tell you an overall definition, and this is how we need to come before the throne of grace, and this is how we need to come into the house of the Lord to worship a living God. The voluntary humbling of one person in order to express the worth of another. Is that how you come to church? The voluntary. You can't force worship. You can force people to come to church. You can get somebody in a headlock and bring them in and place them down next to you. Your teenage son, that might have been how he got here. Your teenage daughter, maybe that's how she's here this morning. Grabbed him by the nose or the ear. Now, that's the only reason I think it might be good to let them have a nose ring, because you can grab that ring and say, come to me. Not really. That's what I'd be afraid of. I'm not going to do that. I don't wear something like that. But anyway, you can force them into the church house, but you cannot force them to worship God. God's not looking for those who've been forced to bow down before Him. God is looking for the voluntary humbling of one person in order to express the worth of another. Is that how we come into the house of God? I love what John the Baptist said. He said, he must increase, but I must decrease. That's worship. Have the arrogance knocked out of me. When I see who God is, one day, when you truly, if you're saved, and you when we see Jesus Christ for who he is, I guarantee you, we'll fall flat on our face. And we'll have whatever arrogance there knocked out of us because of his sight, realizing who he is. Oh, how we need to voluntarily come that way today. Voluntarily come to the house of God, looking forward to God's presence and looking forward to laying prostrate at his feet, looking forward to humble ourselves and saying, God, not my will, but your will be done. God, you must increase and I must decrease in my own life. Your ways are far better than my ways. Your will is far greater than my will. I just want to bow down before you. I want to worship you. It's just as Jesus began his public ministry, and we don't have time to go into it, but one of his first orders of business found in John chapter 2, verses 13 to 16, was to go into the temple and throw out all the money changers. He went into the temple and he cleared out everything that was of man. And he said, my Father's house is a house of prayer. In order to get to the place when they come in to worship, he had to take the world out. Amen. And he said, I'm going to cleanse the temple so that the true worshipers can come in and worship a living God. Wow. Oh, how we ought to learn from that. Oh, how we ought to learn from that. So, how we ought to behave ourselves in the house of God is, first of all, we ought to come in with a right mindset to worship a living God. And we ought to, lastly, honor God. As a church, supporting his truth as pillars. Isn't that what it says? How thou ought to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God. Look right here. The pillar and the ground of truth. The only way to honor God is to uphold his truth. You've heard me say this often as we raise children, that my girls would always come to me and ask me, Dad, what do you want for Christmas? Or what do you want for your birthday? Or what do you want? I want for you to love God and turn out right. The best way that you can honor me as my child is to love God and turn out right. Can I tell you the best way for God's family, his household of faith, the best way for his household of faith to honor God is to love him and do what he says to do. Live according to his word. Follow his commands as far as what he's established the church to do. The church is here to be the light of the world and the salt of the earth. And if we've lost our Savior, what good are we? Got to hold on. Need to honor our living God. As we bow down to worship him, let's not stop there, but let's honor him by continuing to uphold his truth. I think Paul said it well when he addressed the Corinth as we close here. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58. Let me just read it to you. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be a steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. That's Christ honoring. Always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. See, the Word of God does not contain God's suggestions for life. This Bible contains God's commandments for life. Let's worship Him and then honor Him by continuing to uphold as pillars the truth of this Bible. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. Are you worshiping and serving a living God? Or is church just another place to come to? Is church just something that we do to be religious? It's much more than that. The church is the house of God. And the household of faith needs to come to worship and to honor and serving Him. If you don't know for sure, if your eyes were to close in death today, where you'd spend your eternity, can I tell you that God loves you enough to send His only begotten Son to die for you? You can come and receive Christ as your Savior, and God will plant you in that church where you can worship Him, and that church where you can serve Him, and you can be part of the household of faith. If you don't know that you are, don't let this day and this opportunity pass you by without making sure that you've done what God says a person must do to be a part of the family of God. Heavenly Father, we bow before You. And we thank You, Lord God, for this opportunity to be in church. We thank You, Lord God, for how You established this Lighthouse Baptist Church some 29 years ago. And God, how I trust that this church has honored You. And how I pray that we would continue to honor You and just accomplishing what You have us here to accomplish. I pray that You'd work now in our midst, lead each one to make decisions that You'd have them to make. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.